This is not a difficult task.
In a way, I do apologize because I realize I'm moving you into advanced physics, and that's really not fair.
This is tape number 2 on March the 10th, 1996. Thank you, Ed, for the pause. We're back on the record.
All right. We'll start with the subheading Monatomic Gold. No, David Hudson does not have the answers to everything in the universe and doesn't claim to have those answers. He has realized the presence of monatomic gold if certain things are present in the equation wherein gold is being reduced to its monatomic structure. This is not a difficult task relative to restructuring the monatomic substance into the metal gold, but are easy, however, if you understand alchemy in its etheric state. And Commander says, oh yes, you can. Why don't I just pour this information all over you, cute little people? Because you would certainly misuse it, and at the least would ruin the whole intent of our sharing. Remember that information can be utilized by the dark side far more effectively than the good and lighted side of the intent. Abundance on Earth physical is a good thing, used properly, if you want to move on into higher light bodies with understanding and truth. However, most of you are not ready for such jumps in understanding, much the less inability to see beyond and into that which is reality. You live in the aberrations of distorted vision. Until you can actually, under aberration as a defined term, you are going to miss a lot of the intent and point of the journey. You have aberrations while the higher soul body or higher state of being has the reality of manifestation. You can't, for instance, be a higher being without passing into a state of finer and higher frequency and state of non-solid matter. You will finally learn that that which you as soul becomes, the body will surely follow, for it has no choice. Next heading, Sathya Sai Baba. I will use as an example someone to which most of your thinking people might relate, even without a vision or aberration. What can allow this man to tick in the manner in which his clock runs? Because he knows how to utilize the various monatomic states of all things. I might add here that the monatomic of all things are in your very air you breathe, for all things also exist in more purified form in the etheric realms than in the physical atmosphere. You have to give various things discovered names and definitions of the state of presentation, or no one can have any idea of reference from one to another. Many things are specifically bad if taken into the body in large amounts, which can be called poisons. However, in the monatomic state of presence, all things are utilized and moreover are better for the use of the etheric body. If you could analyze a ghost, say, you would find an abundance of elements recognized as such things as iridium, platinum, rhodium, etc. All of that octave of presentation, the ninth. The inert gas of the octave is niton, as it moves on from argon as the transition manifests. Why is that important? Because your soul experiences in that higher frequency state of the ninth octave, but the body works on the carbon-based facility of the fourth and fifth octave, where helium and neon are the inert binding gases, and then moves on into and through the sixth, seventh, and eighth octaves using argon, krypton, and xenon as the foundation inert gases. What that really means in simple assumption is that state of vapor containing all elements within the octave in perfect utilization expressed in gaseous form. Now, do you see how hard it is for us to discuss these things when our books on light are banned? You must also, however, be seeing how it is that they are banned. For body healing and immune system stabilization, we have to deal with some of the elements which are basically poison in their state of physical formation as you see them, but absolutely necessary for the existence of soul essence in its finest form. Here is where we truly separate the proverbial men from the boys as we introduce concepts that can only be understood or accepted with intelligent perception by the very few higher status of being individuals, i.e. God creators, entities of reasoning, thought, capability. The darker energy forms simply will not see or hear, and certainly will not understand, for the lower energy forms focus only on the lower energies. In other words, they only see gold as a precious metal, not a way to eternal life, in fact. I have brethren here who can obviously do a better job of bringing you this information, but you can see how far Dharma and Germain got down that pathway via Green's brigade. The books got banned, she was cited for contempt of court for Green's actions, and nobody ever understood a thing about the subject attempting to be covered. I have brethren there who should be able to have insight to my communications, but I still usually get, quote, why a thing can't be accomplished, end of quote, or my errors in presentation. No, nothing is going to be what you are taught in the controversial, at best, universities. However, it helps to have that head start of knowing symbology, the language of the physics and chemistry necessary to have any kind of reasonable understanding. Dharma is having to learn all there is to know about everything, and it is not suitable for safety or ability to physically accomplish things. You come to me to ask where you can serve, usually after we provide a working and pay environment, of which we have to develop both, and then you wait for instructions as to step-by-step production. No thank you. If we are going to do it at all anyway, we may as well save the problems of the middlemen. I just got an answer, unacceptable at best, and as an example here from EJ, when Dharma asked where we could get a better, more quantitative source of Baba Ash, what she really was asking for was where can we get a better supply of iridium and rhodium, etc., than from Baba. Baba is willing, but I need a lot and a regular and stable supply if we are to have to do these alchemy lessons ourselves. EJ responded instantly, well, from David Hudson. No, we are not interested in monatomic gold for the purposes only of what that product can accomplish. From his standpoint, we need the interim steps which allow people to grow into the state of understanding and not just transition into ghost form. Bodies in the fourth and fifth octave of manifestation must work their way through the octaves if the body is to survive and move into the etheric, either way, use.
Is this making sense? We're trying.
Until the understanding matches the physical physics capability of transition, as in alchemizing bodies, there will simply continue to be recognized miracles, and understanding will be absent. It is the understanding which we are attempting to share, not the physical advantage of finding great commercial secrets and producing them for the blind masses. The ether dimensions are overflowing with blind masses of souls stranded in their journey and landlocked as to dimensional capability of flow. If you simply want durability of a body, build it of iron with its brass additives, and you will have an actual metal object which will last forever, but you will not have life. Since there is no way to cover this subject today, I ask that this represent the foreword to the Just Finished Journal, and the first of the next, which will be on this subject. I will ask that all other subjects be covered by others, for it is time that Dharma and I focus on these topics of light formation. I have to do it without using the best information available, and now we have it from South Africa. No, Tom A. doesn't have full understanding. He was not to have full understanding, but rather to understand that he could and would receive. And he would be able to put the diagrams and explanations to paper in form different to Russell's contribution at the time Russell first wrote. We will not stand longer for confrontation with any earthmen regarding information of this magnitude. Lawyers botched and slowed the process, and yet we have been able to provide so much other information in the interim as to give you insight as in your awakening. Our presentations will not have to be understood or fully comprehended by everyone, but it probably will be as you continue in your supplementations, which allow the opening of the astral portions of your systems into full consciousness of that which is presented. Many individuals around the globe have tasks which will present the necessary keys to the unlocking of the mysteries. So why do we center on one and disallow the others? However, be very wary of imposters. You will find, for instance, many commercial dealers telling you they can sell you monatomic gold. No, they can't and don't. Neither do you need a myriad of sources when David's will do, and if his and it is his mission and appointed task of making it available in its perfect timing. Now for my own team struggling with solutions that won't finish and other notoriously annoying problems, let us recognize that we are an interim step and the keys will be coming along. The great masters and the true master healers are not even in knowledge of that which they have available, if they call it God. Let me read that again, that sentence. The great masters and the true master healers are not even in knowledge of that which they have available, so they call it God. Let it most certainly be God. It most certainly is God. But there are very physical things which can produce the miracles for God. For God is within and in the important part of you. Next topic, platinum. Of what good is platinum other than as a pretty bauble and or a catalytic converter component? Well, it becomes important as much as anything for its non-recognized carrying ability, and that which is separated out as platinum is refined. The reason Baba ash is so wondrous is that he intakes those things which allows him to exude the ash, which has high ratios of iridium and rhodium, among traces, important traces, of other things. But I don't want to blow my own show by too much information used incorrectly. To end this portion of writing, I want you to remember our classes on cellular structures and then remember the atomic definitions as well as other cellular life relationships. You don't have to be a wizard, just remind yourself of terms and be readily willing to go research and look up terms. We plan to keep it simple, if at all possible. We will begin here by defining some terms. Illusion, something that deceives by producing a false impression. State or condition of being deceived, deceived, misapprehension. An instance of being deceived. Psychological definition, a perception that represents what is perceived in a reality. A very thin, delicate tool of silk or nylon having a cobwebbed appearance for trimmings, veilings, and the like. An act of deceiving, deception, delusion, mockery. Now, please pay attention. Synonym number one, aberration, fantasy, chimera. An illusion is a false mental image or conception which may be misinterpretation of a real appearance or may be something imagined. It may be pleasing, harmless, or even useful. Now I want to define aberration as we will find it used in alchemy. Aberration of an image, distortion of a shape, color, focus, and density of images caused by imperfect optical elements, lens, prism, mirror, screen, etc. Types such as coma, astigmatism, field curvature, distortion, and chromatic and spherical aberrations. In astronomy, the apparent angular displacement of the position of a celestial body in the direction of motion of the observer caused by the combination of the velocity of the observer and the velocity of light. You can go look up for selves the constant of aberration, planetary aberration. You can also check and compare parallax. In optics, there is a specific deviation from perfect imagery, as, for example, spherical aberration, coma, astigmatism, curvature of field, and distortion. You will have to work with all of these forms of aberrations as you move along, and certainly you have to know when you have a distortion or a reality of, say, orbiting electrons, etc., around the nucleus of an atom. When you consider monatomic gold, for instance, the atom itself is quite elongated as the electron moves further and further from the nucleus and finally bursts outward. A diatomic circumstance simply exchanges electrons for lack of time for better description. When the electron, however, moves outward, you will at first have what might well be seen as an elliptical polarization, the polarization of a wave radiated by an electric vector rotating in a plane and simultaneously varying in amplitude so as to describe an ellipse. Let me stop here for a second and translate that for you.
That would be a good idea. I could not come up with a better.
That's okay. Polarization, think of an electron moving back and forth just in the air. When an electron moves back and forth, it emits a wave, a radio wave. Think of a radio antenna. The electrons are moving back and forth in the radio antenna, and as they move back and forth, the electromagnetic waves go out from that antenna. So in an elliptically polarized wave, all polarization means is what direction is the electric energy coming out from that electron that's moving. Now, if the electron's moving straight up and down, like in a radio antenna, then the waves are coming straight out of the radio antenna in a certain direction. If the electron, on the other hand, is moving around in an orbit. An ellipse is just like a flattened circle. So if it's moving around in an ellipse, what kind of waves that electron will produce are called elliptically polarized, because they're coming out in kind of like helical, like a corkscrew. Does that help?
Well, you're also going to have, especially, and another good example is in monoatomic gold. You're going to first have an atom that becomes what is known as the formed atom. And it's going to begin to lose its spherical shape or its perfection. And finally, it will pop out the electron. And that means that you have the mono or the one nucleus, atomic nucleus, remaining, and only waves. Does that make sense to you, Ed?
Only waves, as opposed to no matter at all, just energy?
The electron will be outside.
Is that process also used with weather modification?
Oh, wow. I can't even begin to get into that. You bet. Absolutely.
Would monatomic mean only the nucleus was still
no.
there and the electrons were...
Not always. No? Not always. But for a good rule of thumb, and this is why you can never finally purify anything down to, usually, even to 99.9999. Because that last tiny bit will reduce, if you vaporize off all of the other elements, will reduce into this non-entity. And I realize I only want you to have the concept. You don't have to go out and be a rocket scientist. Just get the concept that to get down to that monoatomic atom, you've got a different set of electrical circumstance. If you have a diatomic particle, they're going to be flinging off in twos, and they will transfer. If one's over here with this other molecule or this other functioning system, it will be absent over here because of the duality. Never mind. Go on with this story.
Let me bail you out now. I'll bail you out on that one. Go back to a radio transmitter, and there it is. It's this long, thin thing like a stick, okay, with electrons moving up and down. So they're confined in up and down in a pipe, let's say. What Commander is trying to say here is that even on an atomic scale, when you have an electron running around a nucleus, that's a small antenna. So you have a frequency associated with it, and the way that electron runs around that nucleus defines what kind of vibration it's producing. Not just that it is producing a vibration, but if it runs around in a very tight elliptical circuit orbit closer to the antenna, almost smashed down, or it's oscillating back and forth, or if it's working roundly, or if you have two atoms together, the electrons now interact, and now those two electrons are moving around, and they may couple, and they may both go to one end of the two atoms for a while and then swing back. So the antenna property, the broadcasting property of that, whether it's one single atom or two atoms together or three, changes in each of those circumstances, and that is something we can pick up. Does that help?
No,
that's another subject. But I will answer your...
Scalar wave is prana energy, life energy. And it's on the same track. But scalar is a term that actually picked up and coined by Tom Bearden. So...
Did you get that from that term, clear light?
I don't know.
But I'd make a quick comment here, just because so many people ask questions about weather modification and weather things. I made this comment about 3 or 4 years ago at a meeting, and it's just to stay very simple. The most important aspect of weather modification is the fact that water, the water molecule, is a polar molecule. And by that, while we're on this subject that Commander's on, by calling it a polar molecule, I mean that when you stick those two hydrogens and the oxygen together, that constitutes H2O, a water molecule. The two hydrogens are not sitting, if you would picture them, on opposite sides of the oxygen. So you have an H and then an O and then an H, and the electrons are evenly distributed, the glue that together. The two hydrogens are sitting at an angle of about 121 degrees on one side. So think of it as like looking at a clock face, and the oxygen atom sitting at the middle of the two hands, and the hydrogen atoms are sitting at, say, 5 minutes to eight. Okay, one's at the eight and one's at the 11, like that. So picture two clock hands. And that's where the hydrogens are sitting. Now, as a result of that arrangement, the electrons are not covering that molecule uniformly with respect to the positive charges at the center of each of those atoms, the hydrogens and the oxygen, and they're clustered closer around the hydrogen. As a result of that, if you look back at the thing, stand back a little bit, you'll find that the molecule has a slight charge to it. It's sort of more negative on one end of the molecule than on the other. It's more positive, so it's like a little charge version of a magnet with a north and south pole. Therefore, if you just have basic particle beams up in the sky, or you have an electrical wave up in the sky, a standing wave that has positive and negative areas to it, it will cause those water molecules to be dragged around. So it's as simple a thing as you having some little bits of paper and a little charge on a plastic rod, and you can drag the little pieces of paper around. Part of weather modification is as simple in principle as that. And it all stems from the fact that water is a polar molecule.
As a generalized thing that you must keep in mind, especially as we move into the subject of light and the uses, your perception and what you're basically taught, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily what the professor is trying to get across to you, but what you'll come out with is that because of this little atomic center and molecular attraction and all of these things that they're going to tell you, that it is because of the attraction that keeps things operating within a given molecule or substance. The fact is, the only thing that keeps it there is compression. If you have everything is trying to burst, expand, go out. So you have to know that you're going to have to handle that intent of everything to go out. And it's only held together because of compression. If you rip yourself open from top to bottom, everything is going to fall out. It's not going to fall in. So everything has to have something to hold it together. And our greatest confronting problem in the new diseases is going to be continuing to be capable of finding that with which viruses and bacteria, etc., cannot exist, and getting it within the cell without totally rupturing the cell. The reason that viruses are so incomparably utilized is that they are tiny and they can penetrate within another cell, which then becomes their protective mechanism. So we have to have something like the Dreas that are able to penetrate, merge in, move within where it can work in the environment where the virus hides. That brings it down to our more timely explanation of what we are about at this moment. But the understanding has to first be there. Yes.
Well, just one thing. You said many times that you cannot have it both ways. Before we get too far into this, according to the Russell works, the concept of the atom, the Rutherford Bohr, blah, blah, scientific opinion of the atom is incorrect. If the Rutherford Bohr opinion, the concept of the atom is incorrect, which being a equal protons and neutrons, a positively charged...
Anyway, I don't want to repeat, but the concept of equal protons and neutrons in a nucleus with obviously a positive charge being, quote, stabilized by a series of electron orbitals, if that is incorrect, what are we talking about here about a nucleus? According to the Russell work, a pure atom equates to a tire with air, with pressure in it, compression, wanting to escape. So before we get too far into this, the concept of a nucleus and electrons, maybe some clarification is in order.
Why don't you clarify it then? I'm not being smart. I mean it. What is your perception of it?
Well, my perception is, making it simple as far as all the pure elements, they all, their conditioning, they all have a very specific frequency. And this is what makes them unique, their frequency, okay? And of course, all your combination of all the pure elements, which is the essence of all the physical world as we know it, is simply called hybrids, a combination of all these pure elements. And the hybrid would all have their own specific, depending on the material, their own frequency. So my concept is that, of course, it's all frequency. But I see the atom, according to the Russell works, as always the constant, the compression, always wanting to escape, and as opposed to the Rutherford Bohr, where it's a central nucleus. Okay, from my understanding of the readings, the Russell work, there is no concept, correct concept of a nucleus to an atom. So therefore, what gets confusing is when I pretty much wanted to chuck out my conventional, I won't call it wasted, college chemistry type education, but I'm trying more to simply incorporate the Russell work, which is what I believe, the real concept, as opposed to the Rutherford Bohr and all these other physical concepts, except for the mathematics involved the physics and mathematics, which is pretty consistent as far as the calculation of bond angles, orbitals, blah blah blah. Putting it maybe simpler would be, it's basically impossible for me, to have a concept, a chemical concept, unless I have either one or the other, which gets back to my main thing. You can't have it both ways.
Why? Think about why. Why do you?
Oh, why do I? Because
yes.
I feel... what makes an atom, by any name, stable? You have to address that. And if you say that the stability is based on, the forces of the positive nucleus, of course, neutrons being neutral with equal protons, so the nucleus would be positively charged, and what would supposedly stable make an atom stable would be the series of SPD, whatever the shells, subshells. Of the atom itself, and these electron orbitals would be the negative, if you will, force that would stabilize the Rutherford Bohr, their concept of what the atom is.
Okay, now you're getting there. We are a group, simply because I mean a gathering of people in here. And as to the lesson of the moment, what real impact does it make, which you as a scientist or a chemist might function? Why do you need those specific bits of information before you can do something else? And we're dealing in here with ones who want general concepts because they need to know, but they don't need to know that. And neither do you at this moment. So for me to become totally distracted off in talking about various forms of atoms, let us try to figure out why, in other words, you would have a deformed atom. Why would it be trying to fling its electron out, or its electron trying to expel itself? Or is it centrifugal force, casting it out? What is it? Is the nucleus always in the center of the atom? No. Depends on the substance, the element with which you're working. And so to try to figure out all of these very advanced, complicated signatures of various scientists who would study these theories and then finally be able to prove them or disprove them is of great interest, but it's not of great asset to us at the moment, where we need to move on to the next step. And all of those things can be later made clear. I have to be very careful, please understand, in what I say and do as deals with Russell's material. I have to all but put Russell and Tesla's connection with Russell completely outside my realm of discussion because of the law as handed down against my scribe. I can work through you. You can give some ideas. She may not. She is ordered by court not to. And if she does so, she will be put into prison. So remember, I have to deal with what protects both of you and give you the information that is suitable, knowledge, and it becomes easier after we get a little farther along and I can present Ashley's work so that you have diagrams to look at and more clearly clarify those things that cannot be done the first day that we make a suggestion about atoms, and especially monoatoms. I don't want in any way to offend, and I know that you scientists are so eager to get in there with both hands and eat this because you've been nibbling at it for so long. But please bear with us. This is a general presentation to a community of our relations out there scattered all around this globe. Some of this important information that will come out of this afternoon's in this very discussion will go to South Africa and directly to Tom Astley's desk. So I have to really limit. So when I don't just give you a full-blown answer, please forgive me. I always tell you when you first come into my recognition, I will always answer you if I can. I may not, in some instances, be able to give you that answer which I could. And then always is the one that is so unimportant to me that I just haven't bothered. That does not mean that it may not be important to you as a questioner, but it is unimportant to me as a professor, if you will, that it has really nothing of great relative value to the whole, but it may have very great meaning to you. And if it does, then you're certainly welcome to ask, and I will give you, just as I did with the TV. I frankly am not interested enough to even attend it. I don't care anything about it. If it becomes important, and it becomes more important to a greater number of you, I certainly will pay attention. But that's not my mission, to monitor your television or to fully explain to the populace this is important, how an atom works specifically. I'm not going to give away the trade secrets either to my enemy. And this is where they get the information. So please understand that I'm not going to go into this much deeper. You will get creative. You won't need Dharma.
Okay, there's another point I would make with regard to this. And most people, this is, I don't want to call this the philosophy of science exactly, but most people, when they read a textbook in science and they see pictures and they see diagrams, they take this as some sort of factual outlay, when in point of fact, most of the things that we do in science are actually what are called models. And this sounds philosophical, but you have to understand that we unfortunately take the models as reality. And they are not necessarily half of the reality, much less all of it. I want to back up a minute and give you an absurd example, but it is an absolutely valid model. And that would be a primitive tribe, say an Aboriginal tribe and I even cringe at using the word primitive because they tend to be more advanced in important ways, but we will just say a primitive, technologically primitive tribe in the back outback of Australia sees a eclipse of the moon starting and instantly gets their drums out and start beating their drums. Now, you, as a scientist, come down there and say, well, why are you beating your drums? And the chief says, well, obviously because we're going to cause that dark spot to go away from the moon. Now, you, the scientist, can argue till hell freezes over, and yet you can't disprove his model based on where you're standing. because after a few minutes of beating the drums, 15, 20 minutes, guess what? The moon's going to come back again. So his model of reality is just as real as you. Now, you say, oh, that's so ridiculous because I know the planets are revolving and something got the Earth got between the moon and the sun. Well, were you up there in a spaceship to see it? Where did you get your information that told you that the celestial mechanics that you were taught as another model is correct? So just from this simple example, you can begin to see how full of holes is science as we presently practice it. It is no more valid than are a number of quotings out of the Bible. We quote these things. We quote the model of the atom. How do we know the atom looks like it looks? The only way we know, we model it as this thing with a hunk of mass in the middle and some little things spinning around it, because we've done a whole bunch of experiments, like on a billiard table, shooting other little particles that we don't understand very well, that are also living, their existence exists, as Commander said, due to compression, not due to some sort of mass forming. We have a bunch of particles we don't understand. We shoot at other particles, and we deduce from that that there must be a hunk of mass in the middle that we call the nucleus of the atom, and there must be other little charged things of opposite polarity outside from that that are spinning around. But we have no direct evidence, and some of the experiments that I could cite you from which we build up our picture of atomic structure and what atoms are made out of and how materials are put together are so absurdly contradictory that it's embarrassing. And yet we go blindly on saying we have these simple atomic structures. So what Commander is trying to say here is that if you were to look at the clues that don't fit in our current structuring of scientific matter formation, if we were to not ignore those clues, we would find that there is a lot more to be understood, and that things like the Russell model fill in those missing pieces. And then there are other missing pieces that we're not talking about yet, because the atom is not purely a physical object. It has etheric structure, just as your body has etheric, astral, and mental structure, so does a physical atom. That's only the last end result of something that's going on at a higher level. So keep all that in mind, and now the structure of an atom becomes the allowance, as Commander said earlier, for both the Russell model and our current perception of it in physical space. In other words, the scientist who thinks the planets are revolving around and therefore cause the blockage that you see is the eclipse of the moon is another model. It may be more enlightened than the one that the Aboriginal chief said was my pounding of the drums to get rid of the evil spirit that blocked the moon, but frankly, both of them are operationally identical. And you have to keep that in mind.
Well, you've got to keep something else in mind with Russell's material. Russell made a lot of errors.
Yes.
They were supposed to be errors. Germain and Russell came along with Mr. Tesla and sat for weeks working on correcting some of those misperceptions. Those books are banned. Even you who can then study them are usually not going back and studying word for word, diagram for diagram, the differences in what is presented, so that the picture becomes a little bit more clear. And yet we needed to build up to the capability of having a discussion like this at a much, much higher level. But usually that higher level of understanding will come after we just handle some of the basics and get a little of that monoatomic gold into you. Yes.
Can't hear a word up here.
No. It's not. No. I can understand why you might be able to picture it that way, because that's your thrust. But no, most people just cannot even distinguish between the two. Reality only has one meaning to them, and that's what's right in front of them, regardless.
Excuse me. For the benefit of the tape audience, we need to have the microphone so that they can hear the question. Thanks.
So is it helpful for entities who do comprehend that to utilize it to get an insight into those things that are in the unseen?
Yes. And when ones like you... Now, see, if I understood the first question was regarding dreams being actually more realistic than is the perception of reality from what is around you. Am I close?
Yes. It is based on things that the Aboriginal tribes utilize to convey their histories.
Just the basic perceptions. Obviously, in dreamland, and this was such a serious clue or milestone, when those that are literally called the Aborigines, Aboriginal simply means the beginning, but when the Aborigines of places like New Zealand, where they still remain and are called Aborigines, and Australia are back, they had what they call dream time, which was their basic reality. And they realized that all of this around them was going to pass away and therefore could not be over infinity reality. Well, they relate to all the little animals and all the little things around them, and therefore that becomes part of their dream. And they called that dream time. And they would relate certain sequences of events, certain happenings, and let us use in Australia the very good example of green ants. Now, what does that mean? Well, it simply means that a pretty horrific strain of ants would come out if they were awakened out of their proper sequence. And when that would happen, then all of these other sequential events would be probable. Well, the green ants got awakened by the terrible things that have come upon mankind through his own greed. Let us say in Australia, the mining industry moves in, and the Aborigines get very, very uncomfortable about the digging and the bombing and the sonic searching.